Hi again, Mike O'Connor, Sex and Podcasting. The bits are brought to you by IP House up here in Minneapolis. This is continuing the series about attention. I'm on sort of an iTunes streak at the moment. Last time we talked a little bit about how to get more attention in iTunes. I thought this time, since I'm in the waning days of being on the iTunes Top 100, I'd tell you what I know about the iTunes Top 100 from having been there. I'm sort of a numbers guy. Once upon a time, among other things, I've been the controller of a big university. So along with being a geek and a musician, I really like numbers. And so I was really curious about what was going on when I was delighted one day to find myself on the iTunes Top 100. One of the neat things about that is that you can sort of see what happens to your ranking and try and correlate it to stuff. So I've been doing that a lot, and I'm here to report. Here's my report. First thing is that there is a lot of urban legend stuff going on right now about how you get on the Top 100, how many subscribers, all that kind of stuff. And there are a whole bunch of different theories. One theory is total number of subscribers. Another is the number of subscribers through iTunes. Another is change in the number of subscribers. So if you get a lot of subscribers, you go up in the ranking, even if you don't have a whole lot total. And the latest theory, which actually holds the most water for me, is the number of times people click on the subscribe button in iTunes is what they count. And the reason for that is because iTunes is just a browser, and I'm not sure that they know much beyond that single button click. Anyway, I started tracking my position against all that, and here's sort of what I learned. My high water mark on the iTunes Top 100 was 35th, outranking such luminaries as The Dawn and Drew Show and Adam Curry's Daily Source Code, which does indeed get one scratching one's head, because I've got to believe that those two shows have a lot more subscribers than me. Because when I was at 35th, I had 1,000 subscribers that day, at least according to FeedBurner, which counts all of my subscribers. And it had been increasing a lot. It had gone up about 20% in the last 4 days. So the increase theory holds water. But I'm at 48th today, and I have 1,000 subscribers in FeedBurner. I did have a dip over the weekend because I turned off the explicit tags, because I'm still toggling that to see what impact it has. And unfortunately, toggling that off coincided with a glitch in FeedBurner, and so I thought that I had lost half my subscribers in 4 hours and panicked and turned it back on. So I'll have to do that again. It turns out that I hadn't lost that many subscribers. It was just some sort of feed problem. But what it does say to me is that my suspicion is that most of the podcasts that are in the iTunes Top 100 don't have very many subscribers. This gets back to my rant about this isn't a mass medium. And if I can be there with 1,000 subscribers, that means that there are a lot of podcasts on that list that are definitely not mass media. And in fact, there's a really great site that I like a lot that takes the FeedBurner statistics and creates a top 100 list out of those, called podfeed.net. Not .com. .com is parked somewhere. So it's podfeed.net. And if you go over in the lower right side of their page, they have a top 100 list of people who are in their universe that also make their FeedBurner stats explicit, like I do. And they rank them that way. And you'll see a lot of familiar names. One of the interesting things is that This Week in Tech, which got written up in a recent article as getting 50,000 subscribers in one day on iTunes, at least according to their FeedBurner stats, they only have about 35,000, 38,000 subscribers. which is a lot by podcasting standards, but isn't a lot by Metro radio station listenership standards. Typical top, you know, top 40 station in a big market will have 200,000 to 500,000 listeners during the course of a week. So 38,000, it's not bad, but it's nothing to write home about. And the interesting thing about that top 100 list on Podfeed is how fast the numbers drop off. Catholic Insider, for example, which is a pretty popular podcast, it's in the 2,000 range. It's not a huge number of people. So one of the things that this says to me is that it's confirmation of my notion that podcasting really is a narrowcasting medium, and that it's just fine to be in the much, much smaller numbers range, because the people who listen to your show probably care a whole lot more about it. And if you get 600, seems to be kind of the floor number on the iTunes top 100, 600 to 700 gets you in there, and 1,000 gets you up to like 35th, that's, you know, an interesting thing to know. Now, that gets me to the beginning of the final rant. I'm going to do one more show about iTunes, but I do have some somewhat grumpy stuff. This is about as grumpy as I get. I'm not a terribly grumpy guy. But there are some things that bug me about iTunes. One is that it would be nice to claim our feed the way we can in Odeo. Another interesting portal site for podcasts, if you haven't gone there, is Odeo, O-D-E-O.com. And they give you a way as a podcaster to claim your feed and then directly manipulate some of the stuff that way. And it would be nice to have a feature like that in iTunes. It would also be great for iTunes to make these subscriber statistics public instead of causing us all to run around and speculate the way we have been. It would also be good to have those subscribers be something other than button clicks, because what that means is that if you want to manipulate your rating in iTunes, you just get all your friends to click the subscribe button over and over again, and that'll drive your number up. And that does seem to me to make sense as the reason why, or is the number that they're tracking. It makes a lot more sense than actual subscribers, because by that measure, there's no way that I can compete with in ranking with things like Don and Drew and Adam Curry's show. They've got to have more subscribers than that. So, you know, just sort of a plea for a less opaque environment from iTunes. And I guess along those lines, the final request from the iTunes folks would be if you could put together a little blog or something so that we could correspond with you a little more directly. It's really frustrating to have it be this sort of blank corporate Borg that you can't, you know, there's no insight as to what's going on there at all. It'd be nice to get out there the way for example, Yahoo Music has got a really cool guy that's sort of their blog persona, and he's out there all the time talking about their stuff, helping people hack it and stuff like that. And I think it'd be neat if iTunes would get in that kind of a groove. So there's a little more about iTunes. Again, I've run a little too long because, you know, there's just a lot of information. So sorry about that. I'm going to try and rein myself in for the next one and get back to the 10-minute format. I'm running more like 12 or 13 these days. Well, at this point in these shows, I went on to play a tune of some sort, but I've let the license to play those tunes expire, so I had to edit them out. And the other thing is that these shows are in mothballs now. I kind of ran out of stuff to say about community podcasting, so I've moved on to GeezerCast, which gives me a lot more room to maneuver. GeezerCast is a podcast to my unborn grandchildren, and if you're liking these, you might like those too. You can join me over there at geezercast.com. Anyway, that wraps this show up. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you the next time.